Everyone, we're crazy over here today, but welcome to the Don't Be Mad podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matthew Rivera, followed by my co-host,
Jason Elias. How are you doing?
And we're hoping you guys are having a nice, beautiful day. It is currently Sunday, and we got some football playing in the background, even though it's on mute.
Yeah, two teams we really don't care about.
Yeah, the Bengals and the Redskins. Blew them both.
None of them are making the playoffs anyways. We don't care.
But on a serious note, we wanted to start off today's show by saying, you know, we're sending out our prayers and positive energy to Texas right now because they're going through the Hurricane Harvey situation. And in all honesty, it's always tragic to see these natural disasters happen in anywhere in the country, in the world.
Yeah, it's really bad. Fortunately, well, not kind of fortunately, but there's only been one fatality that's been reported so far for it, which is for a storm that size. It's been like one of the major storms since Katrina to hit the area around there.
Yeah.
It's one fatality is luckily bad, but a fatality nonetheless. And I pray for that family who lost their loved one.
Pray for them and pray for anybody who's evacuating or people who may have stayed. Hopefully that they are as safe can be, knowing that no matter where you are in that area, it's going to be a hard, troubling time, not just during the hurricane, but for the months or even years to come afterwards as...
Yeah, the cleanup.
The cleanup, the eventual dispersing of the water that's been picking up and flooding, like, the streets, highways, neighborhoods. So all of our thoughts and prayers are going out to every single person who's being affected by the hurricane right now. Just
stay strong, be safe, be dry especially. Don't get caught out in that water, especially when it's settled. You know, you can get infections and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the biggest thing is just knowing, like, these are the type of situations where you see a community of people come together, and hopefully the community comes together to help their neighbors out and just... At the end of the day, just make sure as many people get safe as possible.
Yeah, be safe out there, Texas. We stand with you.
Yes, we do. You have all our love, support, and prayers right now.
Yeah, so we could transition that into our little situation that we had here in Montreal.
It all started with the eclipse. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to witness after, what, 37 years it was since the last eclipse. And, you know, we all... went outside. If you had the glasses, you went to see it. If not, you waited for the pictures like I did, just to see from NASA's view or from your friends and family that are just posting beautiful, amazing pictures of the eclipse. But it seems everything of beauty comes with a little bit of strife because, you know, here in Montreal, we had terrible, terrible winds, like tornado-type winds.
Yeah, we had a little microburst, which is essentially a kind of hurricane-level mini pocket that hit the city, especially in the areas where of NDG.
Well, it's mostly like southwest to like southeast Ontario and Quebec.
So, yeah.
You know, it was devastating in some places. Like for me specifically where I am, I'm near a park that one of like the staples of NDG. And if you go there right now, it's completely fenced off, yellow taped off because so many trees basically got ripped down and limbs from trees were just dispersed throughout the park. It basically became a danger zone at that point.
The park, the trees split in half right through the middle from the, and this is just wind, like,
yeah,
just strong ass wind,
very strong winds.
If anything, I think I have a picture of it. I'll post it on the Facebook page for you guys to see exactly how bad it got.
I have a few pictures from friends, from myself as well, where just looking at the damage and seeing what it did. Like, you had some of the side roads that had trees that fell down and completely blocked the street, couldn't get through on multiple places. So, and on top of it, we had a lot of power outages that affected many areas, not just NDG itself, but, you know,
West Island.
You had some places like Lachine, Laval, LaSalle. Just, there was a lot of damage that came from that. So,
we're just lucky this happened when there was no snow. Because if there was snow and ice, like when they had the ice storm when this happened, that would have been an extra problem on top of it.
But we do want to tip our hats and give a great big thank you to the first responders that came out and really just did a phenomenal job as far as like the cleanup was, making sure everybody was safe.
That's right.
Getting the power back as swiftly as they did, because
Hydro-Québec firefighters, police officers, they really came out and did a job. Even our mayor Russell Copeman for NDG, especially where I live, he really was on top of it day one, and everything was really well coordinated. And I'm kind of biased because he's my teacher too at university. So, but yeah, he was on, everyone was on point for first responders. And, you know, we want to thank everyone for all the work they did. Sometimes, you know, we don't think, you may think that you're not appreciated, but your work does count.
It was great to see how quickly the response was to making sure everybody was safe and the cleanup would happen and the power coming back, just to make sure our lives could be a bit more smoother, even in a time where a lot of people were just freaking out because we hadn't seen anything like this. I don't think, like, not in my lifetime, at least, since the
ice storm. The ice storm was the biggest thing. I know I lost power for about a full day and a couple of hours after that, and we just had nothing. So I was like,
yeah, I was fortunate enough that where I was, we got our power back within a few hours, so we didn't have like the full like 24 plus hours of power outage. But still, just knowing a few people that did go through that, it's good to know like how swift the response was as far as like making sure the city could get back to as normal as possible, even with cleanup still happening.
So Hydro-Québec, thank you for, sometimes you do overcharge us, but you did your job getting the power back on.
At least. It looks like our funding is going to something.
Oh yeah. All right.
But you know what? Now on a more happier note, we had what was the biggest fight of the year,
That's right.
Yeah, we'll give it the year.
That's right.
The biggest fight, and you know what? It lived up to the hype.
That's right.
It really did.
Money Mayweather got that ass.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm biased. There's no pause. I'm biased because I was saying it to everyone. Like, this is the thing I've been saying for years about Money Mayweather. It's like, why do you bet against him? People always say, oh, in the first round, we see Mayweather getting beat up. Blah, blah. I'm like, no, this is how he always starts.
Well, like, the biggest thing about this was, what type of fight was it going to be? You know, and were we going to get a fight where we're going to see two guys just come out guns blazing right away, which most people didn't expect to see at all? Or are we going to get a fight where we have two guys who really don't know each other at all, really just trying to feel each other out for a good 12 rounds, and then maybe in like the last round they actually try to go at each other, you know? But what ended up happening was McGregor early on was able to take a few rounds and be very effective in his combinations and his jabs.
And I do want to give credit to McGregor. He did last longer than anyone expected him to last.
Oh, he did last.
So I will give him credit for that. He's a tough opponent. He lasted way longer than he was supposed to. And you got to give him credit for that.
Well, you're looking at a guy who came from MMA, coming into a completely different world that is in his own, to fight one of the greatest fighters to ever fight in that world in boxing. And he showed that not only could he compete at a level that's commendable to boxing, but he didn't just take it as a joke. He really went out there trying to get that win, trying to put on a show for the fans, even if he came up short, because what we saw from Mayweather was a guy who knows what it's like to go 12 rounds and knew the type of opponent he was going up against, you know?
Yeah.
He allowed the first few rounds to go against his way because he knew the biggest thing that was in his advantage was the length of the fight and the endurance that's needed for the fight.
Yeah.
And you saw that when McGregor at first was coming in, getting those points, getting those strikes. And, you know, he was effective. Like, he was able to, like, control the ring at times and really just impose his will in the beginning rounds, like leading up to the fourth, until we saw Mayweather really start to pick up his game, you know? And that was something that I was wondering about, like, when exactly would we see Mayweather let loose with his hands?
Yeah, I always knew every fight I've seen Mayweather, he always picks it up at the fourth round and then he starts dominating from there on in. And the only reason why Floyd didn't have knockout power, people say he's not a knockout artist. Of course he's not a knockout artist, because his fingers, his hands, he has bad hands. So he's not going to be out there knocking out people or anything like that. This is why people say, you know, his defensive style is always, you know, boring and everything. Like, he's not a knockout artist. But
look, like, the one thing we can say is, like, when you look at the first five rounds, it was 51 landed punches to 40 landed punches in favor of McGregor. After that, Mayweather really picked it up because it ended up being 130 landed punches to 60 landed punches in favor of Mayweather. So he really went in with that game plan of, I'm going to let you pick up the pace first. I'm going to be defensive as ever. But then when it's time for me to take over this fight, which was according to this in the fifth round, that's when he was like, all right, now it's my turn to impose my jab, my turn to get my power punches in. I'm going to control the ring. And it made for a great fight because at the end of it all, even though he was doing all that, McGregor didn't back down.
Yeah, he didn't back down, but he got gas though.
Yeah,
that was
the biggest thing.
He got really gas going down to, and like he said after the fight that, oh, he was just tired, he wasn't hurt. I'm like, I think he got his life saved because if Mayweather was to continue.
I won't say that because the one thing we know about McGregor is, and I said this on the last podcast, he can take a punch. Like we saw it against Nate Diaz. Mm-hmm. You know, he is able to stand up against a stronger opponent with heavier hands and take a punch. And the biggest thing that we were seeing in the fight with Mayweather was around round eight, his hands were starting to go down a bit too much, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's always a sign of fatigue where they're in front of you. You're really relying on your dodge more than you are just keeping the hands in front of your face to allow that to absorb those punches. And because of that, that's where Mayweather just knew this was it. Like, this is the time to really put that pressure on him, force him to get defensive or force him to strike back. And in the eighth, you saw McGregor was trying to rely on the counter punches. He got a few touches in, but overall, Mayweather was just controlling the distance. Like his reflexes are just so
experience,
good.
Experience exactly. For doing this. And
that's exactly what it was. Like, it's experience.
The best pro box, like the best pound for pound we've ever seen in that weight class. It's like, you know what was going to happen.
Look, it was a masterful technical performance by Mayweather's part because he even said after the fight, like, our plan was simple. Let him go. Let him be free with his punches. But we know during this specific round, in the fourth, fifth round, this is when we're going to pick it up and see if he can keep up with us.
Yeah.
They essentially just wanted to see if he could go that 25 minute. And after the 25th minute, where is he going to go from there? You know, and we saw it because when it came to the 10th, even though McGregor was eating those punches, it wasn't a matter of him backing down out of pain. It was more backing down because he needed to catch his breath. And that was one of the things that allowed Mayweather to just go in there and let loose. And, you know, arguably, and I'll accept it, arguably an early stoppage, just because we've seen in boxing, most times a ref will allow a knockdown to go before they do a complete stoppage. But at the same time, when player safety is concerned, I'm not really one to make that argument for anyone either way.
I think, you know? I think the referee knew this, him coming from MMA background.
Yeah.
He's not used to like a boxer's punches. Like MMA fighters usually used to getting hit in the legs, arms, everything like that. Getting body blows.
They'll take some good headshots.
They'll take some good headshots, but not constant headshots like he was getting that night. And I was like, you need to stop that.
But I say that because the exchange that initially brought the stoppage, I felt there were a few combinations that Mayweather had prior to that were a bit more damning and effective than the one that the ref used as the stoppage one. Yeah. But I feel the only thing that I can say that possibly happened for the ref was he was telling McGregor, put the arms up, you know, you got to defend yourself.
Yeah, he stopped boxing after like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and at a certain point where if a ref is in the ring constantly telling you put your defenses up, that's his way of trying to protect the fighter. Yeah. If the fighter's not doing it, in his head, he's either dazed or he's in a position where he can get seriously injured from a hit that's going to come. So for the ref to make that stoppage, like I said, it's arguable, but at the end of the day, player safety is the most concerning, and we still got a very exciting fight, which is something we don't usually get from Mayweather.
And just to like kind of wrap this little part up, congratulations, Floyd. You are 50-0.
Well earned.
You earned it. You made over $1 billion in your career in boxing. That's ridiculous.
And look, I think they were saying the final tally for McGregor was 100 million.
Well, I don't know if he's going to get that 100 million because he has to pay UFC, Dana White, all those people.
But I'm just saying, like, the tally of what they said for everything that's coming in was 100 million.
So if that's...
I don't know if it's specifically in his pocket or if it's the overall what he's going to get, but they said 100 million, which was more than I had originally heard. I think like the last number they were saying was 60. So possibly of that 100 million, he gets the 60. But either way, biggest payday he's ever going
to
see.
He really doesn't even need to. Well, yeah, you can go back to UFC now because now you're going to have a big fan base. And
well, look, I think the best thing for him would be to go back to the UFC because he's already the biggest draw they have. He's still young enough to keep competing. And at the same time, he's done something that no other person in the UFC can say. He can hold that up now as like it's its own belt in its right.
And I would say that the UFC needs him more now than ever with what happened with John Bones Jones testing positive for steroids.
Unbelievable. And you know what? Like, oh my God. I could tell you right now, I am one of the biggest Johnny Bones Jones fans, but I think it's over for him, man.
Oh yeah, man. You can't get caught. How much time? That's twice now?
It's the third time, I believe. The
third time? Was like,
and to me, it was like after the last time where he decided to take time off, clean himself up, and get refocused, you know, get a new team. For you to come back and test again?
Yeah. Get rid of your people around you, or
you've literally just ruined your complete legacy, because without a doubt, everyone looked at him like, you are the greatest fighter in this league.
Yeah.
You know, his only loss came at a disqualification where it was a fight that should have been ended sooner. He ended up doing an illegal elbow hit, but it was because he was doing ground and pound, doing every legal strike he could. The guy that he was on top of could do absolutely nothing, and the ref didn't stop the fight. Yeah, he did the illegal hit, but still, like, that was a fight he dominated and won.
Yeah.
So you really look at this guy as, your one loss is the DQ, but overall, like, you are undefeated in this. Like, we've seen the talent you have, mm-hmm. but for you to now take that talent and ruin it, it's shameful. It's really shameful.
It is what it is, but like I said, McGregor's there, so he's going to be the big draw now. And
of course, and now we got GSP coming back GSP to fight Mike Bisping.
So, but anyways, congratulations to both of them. They're both richer than me.
You don't anyways that fight. GSP is coming back. Like, show the man some respect.
Yeah, I'm sure. I haven't seen too many of his fights specifically.
Who, GSP?
Yeah. I haven't really seen too much of his fights specifically.
Buddy.
But like I said, I personally am not a big MMA fan. I'm a bigger boxing fan than I am MMA fan. So GSP, I'm sure he'll do good. He was good when he left, so he should be pretty good when he comes back. He's well rested. Hopefully he does tremendous and he wins his next match.
Well, I think that's going to be a phenomenal match. I can't remember if they're fighting at welter or middleweight. I believe it's middle.
GSP is that big to be middleweight. Yeah, so
he usually goes into a fight at a close enough weight to be middleweight, so it would be natural for him at that point to fight at the middleweight. But Bisping is no slouch either. Like, he's a guy that we've seen dominate. He took some time off, came back, and just came back stronger than ever. And I think that's like the perfect fight to bring GSP back into and just showcase if he's still got it, you know?
Hopefully UFC will have bigger draws now, get more people into it.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing, because I feel like UFC at a point right now where they're really looking for their next big name in each division, because we know like the featherweight and lightweight is completely dominated by McGregor. Well, at a point we were looking at Jones in like the light heavy or the heavyweights. It's always a different name. It's never really one person that's really just standing out. So
it's like what boxing is right now. Heavyweights is really not talked about too much right now.
With Klitschko gone, you know, it's pretty much up for grabs right now in boxing. So I feel like UFC is really just at that turning point right now where they're just looking to find out who's the next big star in each division that's going to be their big draw. So no matter what card they make, you know, because even when you look at like the women's division for a while, you had, oh shoot, I'm blanking on it.
Rousey?
There you go, Ronda Rousey.
Wow, she's become so irrelevant.
Her name slipped my mind. But yeah, you had Ronda Rousey, who was completely dominating everything.
She got the rings kicked out of her face.
Sadly.
By Holly Holmes.
You know what? I was telling people, the worst thing Ronda can do in this fight is think she could stand up against a world champion kickboxer. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do this against somebody who is known for having amazing stand-up, powerful kicks, powerful punching. Her footwork is phenomenal. Like, your best thing is judo. This is what you do. Use your judo, get her on the ground, get her into a submission. Who cares if people say it's boring? That's how you win. Stop trying to prove to people that you can do these other things when at the end of the day, your job is to go into the ring and beat your opponent.
That's right.
You know, and I felt like for a while, she was really just trying to prove like, oh, I can stand up with the best of them. I can throw hands. Like, I have new boxing coaches. And it's like, no, your main coach is doing you a disservice.
She caught the Falcon kick. Not even the Falcon punch, the Falcon kick. But yeah.
It was sad, man.
But UFC boxing, they're in a good spot right now. We got a good fight from Mayweather and McGregor. And like I said before, the fight, though, to see is Canelo Alvarez versus Triple G. That is the fight everyone must watch. If and you're the next a fight to fan. See
for UFC, Michael Bisping and GSP.
That's right. That's
so I feel like what last night did was really just give a little bit of a spark to both sports respectively. Because like I said, like when I first looked at this, I completely just saw it as a pure spectacle. Like, we're not getting anything other than just two people who want to make a quick paycheck. They're going to go in there. They're going to put on like a little, yeah, I'm here to fight you. You're here to fight me. We'll turn it up. Maybe late in the fight, we'll make it go the distance. But then when they started talking about how neither one of them felt it would go the distance, I was starting to get a little glimmer of hope that maybe we're going to see something good. And I was at a dinner with a few friends, and I was telling them, you know what? I feel like if this does finish in Mayweather's favor, it's going to go to 10. I probably should have put some money down because that's when that's exactly when it ended.
Let's just say this fight was a lot more interesting than that Pacquiao fight. That's to tell you, 100%. That's to tell you, Pacquiao, McGregor could beat you, probably.
You know what? Who knows?
It's possible. Oh, people are going to... I'm hearing it already. People are salty. They're salty already.
What? Because he could go in there with Mayweather? Yes, because he went in there with Mayweather.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. But yeah. Let's move on to our next topic.
We want to nerd it up a bit and talk some Defenders.
Yes, TV shows. Some Netflix originals.
The what I like to say is... It was an 8-episode pilot. It was good. Don't get me wrong. It was good, but I felt like there were too many episodes where these guys were just feeling each other out and trying to get comfortable with one another before we got the full-on Defenders experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, besides, I think it was episode 3 where he goes to the building and they're fighting their way out against the Hand.
That was a pretty good episode, that one.
Yeah, that was a really good episode, you know? But it's like, then right after that, we get them in a restaurant. And
yeah, that restaurant were just talking and... The funny thing is, in that scene, and spoiler alert, this has been on way too long. So
long enough for you to have seen it. It's only 8 episodes. Come on.
The thing what I find funny is they were in the restaurant long enough for Jessica Jones to leave and for her to come back. She actually got clues to a case. She left and she came back with more information. I'm like, whoa.
Well, I mean, Danny Rand had to eat every single thing on the menu.
Oh, God.
You know, it takes time to cook all that food and put it out there. You know, you got to plate it properly.
I just want to say, everyone who watched Iron Fist, Danny Rand is a lot better in this compared to what he was in Iron Fist.
I felt like they had a lot more to work with in this because, honestly, I really feel like they rushed Iron Fist in a sense.
Yeah, the Iron Fist was rushed because they needed to get Defenders out in time. Yeah. So his character was really rushed. He even said during the time they were filming Defenders that he only had like maybe... 2 days to learn the choreography to do some of the martial arts moves and everything like that. So in Defenders, you actually see he's really fighting. Like that's what we want. The only thing that's missing is having him have the costume on, having the mask.
Yeah. Like, Anna. Can we get the mask already?
Yeah. That's all we're missing.
I mean, we see Daredevil fully costumed up. You know, Luke Cage doesn't really have to do much. Jessica Jones, she wears the exact same clothes every single day, which is kind of disgusting. Does she shower? I need to know this. I've never seen her take one shower.
I know, such a hot girl, and I've never seen her, like, she's always in the same jeans pants.
In the Jessica Jones series, she took a shower at all? I might be mistaken. If somebody knows, please tweet me or tell us in the message.
I can't remember. I don't remember.
I don't think she ever took a shower. We saw her get naked because she had sex with Luke Cage. But besides that.
She had the same leather jacket, the same gloves. Jeans,
same shirt.
The same kind of...
What? I think all she did was add a scarf?
Yeah. Essentially. But no, I like her. I like her character. Like, she's really like a... like, I don't care. Like,
she's the hero that doesn't want to be a hero.
But I think they're all heroes that don't want to be, maybe except for Luke Cage.
Well, no. Luke Cage, essentially, he wants to be a hero that doesn't use his powers to be good. He just wants to help people out. Where it's like, no, dude, you have these powers for a reason.
Yeah. Well, Daredevil's has been awesome since from his own.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's like the most well-developed character out of all of them.
Good old Matt Murdock.
Matt Murdock, man. Yeah, This was kind of like Daredevil 2.5?
I'm, it, I don't want to say that because there was a lot of Iron Fist.
Yeah, there was a lot. Because
we got the whole setup of the hand, and the one thing you can't say was a lot daredevilish was like Alexa coming into the picture.
Sorry.
Like with her, yeah, then it was very daredevil in that sense because on top of it, we needed to have a resolution of what's going to happen with her.
Yeah.
But overall, I felt it was very Iron Fist because of a lot of the things that happened in that. A lot of the characters we were introduced to in Iron Fist were the main ones that were coming through in Defenders as like the problem. And then you discover who the hand really is.
Oh, I don't know the actress's name who plays this character, but the character of Colleen Wing. Oh,
Colleen Wing. Let's do a little...
Danny Rand's...
Jessica Henwick.
Jessica Henwick. Yeah. Oh, my God.
What, are you in love?
She is the finest thing on this earth.
Oh my God.
She's the best thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep it in your pants, Jason.
No, man, she's a really good actress. She's one of the stronger female actresses in that kind of Defenders ensemble.
I gotta say, I really love Rosario Dawson's character.
Oh, from the beginning, yeah, Claire.
Like, I feel like she's a very strong character. And Wei Ching Ho, who's the old lady from the hand.
Yes, Madame Gao.
She just comes in with the cane and just starts pushing air at everyone.
Oh, man, she was whooping people.
You start force pushing people into walls, you're good in my books.
Yeah, that fight scene where they have her, Bakudo, and the other person from the hand versus Luke Cage, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones in the parking lot there.
Yeah,
that was a pretty good fight scene. I didn't expect it to be that intense, but it was really good. And yeah, and how it ended, I didn't like how it necessarily ended, but it made kind of sense, and I see where they're trying to go for.
Well, it ended on a cliffhanger, obviously, because you got to get a draw for the next season. And like I said, like this was essentially like a pilot. It was for people to feel it out and see if it's going to get that attention that they're expecting it to. And honestly, like I think it will. Like Marvel continuously does a great job and they're going pretty well with it right now. So honestly, the one thing I will say though, I want to know if they're going to tie in the Punisher to the Defenders in any way, because we got his connection through Daredevil.
Probably this upcoming season of Daredevil season 3. Because I think Iron Fist is going to be in it a lot. He's going to take over
I'm expecting all the Defenders at some point in time to be in each and every one of their respective counterpoints seasons. Mm-hmm. But Punisher specifically, I asked because we know his main thing wasn't necessarily the hand. It was against Kingpin.
Well, it was Kingpin. Kingpin said that there was someone in the whole thing.
And his whole thing is basically just getting the criminals out the paint completely, just taking them out. So I'm very curious to see what the season's going to be like. Because that's one of the comic book characters that I've always loved, man. Frank Castle is amazing. He's a badass. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's a very intense character. That season 2 of Daredevil, when they introduced him, he came 110%.
Yeah.
Fully bad. The first scene you see is just killing people.
Well, of course, that's what he does. I think the best scene that he had, though, was in the jail. When he was wearing the all white, remember?
And when he's fighting everyone,
just kills every single person in that cell block.
Yeah, that was really intense. And
what I loved about it too was just like the whole cinematography, because you have him in white, the whole room is white, and by the end of it, everything's red.
Yeah,
and it's just very much like this is who he is.
And John Bernthal is the person who plays Punishers, Shane from The Walking Dead, who always scratches the back of his head. You know that Shane. He's a really good actor. There's a scene in Daredevil where he's talking with Daredevil after they killed that mob there in the cemetery. He actually makes Matt Murdock, Daredevil, cry in the story he was talking about his family and everything like that. Yeah. That was a really good, intense scene, which could have won.
It's just really well acted. Like, you can tell that the people writing this, they're taking their time.
Yeah.
The actors are really getting emotionally involved with their characters, which is what you want to see, especially in these high emotional situations that all these characters have. Like, they're not just like, we have superpowers and we use them for good. Like, they have traumas that led them to this point. You know, for Frank Castle, it was his family getting murdered by criminals, and he's a Marine, and he decides, you know what, it's my time to like just clean up the streets, but he does it in the most criminal way possible. So it's that human argument of,
And you see that.
Are you any better than the ones you're getting rid of, even though you're only getting rid of the bad guys?
And you see that conversation he has with Daredevil when he ties them up on the roof there.
Yeah.
They have that conversation like, you're just probably beating them up. I'm really killing them so they don't come back again. And that's what makes it. I think The Punisher is going to be a really good, really, really good season. What I did hope, though, was because, you know, this is New York. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How come there's no mention of the Avengers anywhere? At least a mention of something. They always talk about the incident.
Well, what they do, they've been smart. Well, they've already said that they don't want the cinematic world and the Netflix world to mesh.
They should.
They really want them to be standalones, which I can understand. But they have had situations where they've had little, like, Easter eggs dropped in where they've made mentions of something that's happened in a past movie. Like, they've talked about, like, what happened in New York when the alien invasion happened.
They talk, like, in Luke Cage, they talk about Justin Hammer, who was in Iron Man 2, how his weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so like we've had the situations where they've made like the Easter egg comments where if you're paying attention, if you're a fan, like you're like, oh, like I know what that's about because I remember seeing that in the film. But I remember them saying specifically they want to keep the two worlds separate so that they can just be their own entities. And not only that, like they wanted to keep the Netflix and the current shows that are going to be coming on television. And then on top of that, the cinematic separate. So the only show that really keeps intertwined with the movies is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really keeps
it. So besides that, everything else is really just its own way. And like you're seeing now from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're getting Inhumans.
Yeah, Inhumans. So, and well, we don't know about Ghost Rider because we saw Ghost Rider. We saw, we saw both Ghost Riders. Yeah. We saw Reyes and what's the other one? Johnny Blaze, the original one.
Yeah.
I saw Johnny Blaze. So who knows if they're going to come up with a series for that or they're going to come up with a movie for him. I don't think
Ghost Rider could
survive on TV.
They might just keep like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe even have him do a crossover with Inhumans at the moment because he fit their world really well.
Yeah, he was okay.
And I, even though I think his last appearance on there, he said he was going away for a long time, I feel like he's going to be coming back soon.
I still want to see the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, though. Because he's my favorite.
That's the classic Ghost Rider. Yeah, he's one everybody knows.
Yeah, I like him and not that Nicolas Cage crap.
Oh, my God.
I
wasn't even going to go that far.
Venture there.
There's certain things we don't have to go back to.
All right. So, yeah, that's Defenders. If you guys get a chance, please watch Defenders. It's really good. It's not just superheroes or anything like that. It's a real drama. It's a real drama.
And also, just for all my fellow Thronies, tonight is the night. Season finale. 80 minutes. As of 9 o'clock, I do not exist on this earth, but for one thing. And I hope you all feel the exact same way, so then when it's done, we can get on Twitter like a family and talk about it. It's going to be one of the greatest episodes ever created in the history of television, bar none.
I have no opinion in this because I've never seen it.
I've been trying to get this guy to watch this show for years. And now that like the hype is really getting to that point, I'm starting to see the twinkle in his eyes. Like he's getting a little interested. So I'm hoping he gets off his lazy ass and gets to watching Game of Thrones, man.
Because you think I am a big fantasy fan and all that stuff. Like Lord of the Rings is like one of my all time favorite movies. That whole trilogy is my favorite.
Dude, there's dragons. There's zombies made of ice. There's war, there's death, there's a girl who can wear people's faces and become them. Like, what more do you need?
I will see it. There's one more season, right? That's coming after this one,
it'll be the final season.
But so I will try to catch up before the final season.
You'll have 18 months to catch up, so there's really no excuse.
No excuse. You see, I will catch up and I will watch it.
I need to talk about this stuff in depth.
Like, I started watching Sons of Anarchy after it finished, and I was like, wow, how did I miss this? It was a good show. But
I'm quite sure I told you to watch that show.
Yeah.
But he always waits till everything's out the way and then watching it is like, oh, this is a really good show. It's like, yeah, I told you like 3 years ago.
Well, to be fair, I was dating a girl who told me, well, you should watch it. I'm like, okay, you'll be watching now. But no, it was a good show. It's just that, like, you know, other time I haven't had time to watch as much TV as I used to. But I will check out Game of Thrones.
I promise you there's some things you make time for, like Rick and Morty. There's some things
Rick and Morty. But anything cartoon, anime, I always make time for that. So
how about you take a break from some of your animes and just give some time to Game of Thrones?
I can probably do that, but you know, Gundam and everything.
People, I promise you, I will get them on this so then we can have nice, thorough conversations.
We'll have just podcasts.
I'll even make them read the books, too.
Yeah, I would rather read the books than actually watch the shows. That's what I actually normally do. When it's
reading space. The books is going to take you a lot longer.
I'm a pretty quick reader. It's not a problem. But yeah, there's also another show I guess we can talk about. Glow.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
I know that show came out a while ago, but we just wanted to give a little nod to it because it was just a great show to watch.
And Allison Brie's in it.
Allison Brie.
Yeah, that's right. Community alum Allison Brie. But yeah, it was a really good show. And like I was telling, like we were just saying with the Defenders thing, it's not necessarily about wrestling. It's a real character-driven show with strong characters, strong people. And like the whole wrestling, the whole aspect of what it is, that's all secondary. It's really getting into like, you know, meshing of who this person is. If anyone hasn't seen Glow or what they want to know about it, it's essentially a struggling actress trying to look for work, and the only thing she can get is working for a wrestling company, basically the female version of the WWE.
You know, and like you have, like I said, Allison Brie, Mark Maron's in it. He's the one who's basically running Glow. Betty Gilpin is the woman who's the struggling actress who's just trying to get right back on her feet and get back out there in a starring role.
Yeah.
And like the thing that I loved about this show is like you have these very strong, well-written women that are pushing the story forward. And all of them have like such complexities that you really get drawn into who they are. And by the end of it, all you want to see is each and every single one of them overcome whatever it is that's holding them back and just prevail in this seemingly feels like a real backyard, like run-of-the-mill, like this is
their personalities are so distinct and so unique. Every character could be your favorite character in that show. Every character could be your favorite character. They even have some pro wrestlers. What's her name? Welfare Queen, one of the wrestlers. That's one of her stage names on the wrestling thing. She was actually a WWE wrestler. So shout out to her. She's doing big things, and she's a really good actress too. In the episodes, one of my favorite episodes is where the two of them reverses the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, that was one of those.
Oh my goodness!
Terrible ideas, but they executed it in a way that made you just feel okay about it, which is weird.
It was so hilarious.
But that's definitely like my suggestion show if there ever was one. I would say check out Glow. It's so worth it. It's such a good watch. You're going to fall in love with every single character that you see on that screen. It's so worth it.
And trust me, guys, if you're going to like have a binge watch with your girlfriends,
Glow.
Glow is the show to Glow is the show to watch. You need to.
That's a pop that. Some wine, have some fine cheeses or some snacks, and just sit there and watch episode after episode together. Nice. And just enjoy that.
Nice. So,
I feel like that's it for us today.
Wrap this up?
Yeah.
Wrap it up? Yeah.
You know?
We had a good conversation. Little quick episode, you know, try to get you guys to hear our thoughts on, especially the Mayweather-McGregor thing. Just a little quick update. And our TV shows that we will hopefully talk more about. I will.
Because I will make you watch them.
I will watch Game of Thrones before the new season starts. I promise everyone that. Like I will said, be caught up.
After tonight, you have 18 months before the next season comes out.
How many seasons have there been?
7 so far.
7? All right. And that's how much? 8 episodes? 13 episodes per season?
Well, usually they're 10 apiece. This season had 7, and the next one's going to have 7 as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so I will catch up. This is going to be easy for me. It's like Sons of Anarchy. I can catch up to that. Not easy.
Yeah, because Sons of Anarchy was like 13, 14, I think.
Yeah, I could catch up to that. So I will be well-versed in it. I will know what's going on.
And maybe we'll give you like a 3-hour.
A 3-hour test?
Game of Thrones talk.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'll be a lot to talk about. Especially in a show that's very complex like that, it'll be very hard to talk about. But we will have more conversations on it. Again, thank you all for tuning in, listening to us, hear our rambles and our thoughts on some of our favorite shows. And I don't have anything like a link or anything to donate because nothing like that came available. Like, not for us, for Texas. Oh. For aid.
Like, what are you talking about?
No, not donate for us. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I would assume like Red Cross would be.
Yeah, Red Cross. Normally Red Cross. Red Cross normally handles that because, you know, you can't count on FEMA for anything. Red Cross,
Salvation Army, like the the usual standout ones.
You can't count on FEMA for everything. we saw how that happened.
And do what you can if you can.
Yeah, do what you can if you can, and just pray for those people and make sure they're all safe and everything. And we will wrap this up. So if you want to reach us, you can reach us at Twitter. My Twitter handle is JJNBA. Those are all letters. Matt?
At LeftyLucky_.
You can reach us at the website at theconnect.ca. Please join the website and be on the forums, because I will be discussing a lot of topics that we have on here in more detail. So
sign up for the newsletter too, so you can get early access to the episode.
Yeah, the episodes usually come out a day in advance compared to like the normal Mondays that we send out. Every Monday at 12 p.m., that's when a new episode comes out. So stay tuned for that. But if you're on a newsletter, you usually get it a day in advance. So stay tuned for that. You can apply. You can actually sign up for that on the website. There's a big red link button. You just click newsletter and you're sign up for it.
Just go to www.theconnect.ca and it's all there.
There's the podcast Twitter handle, which is
at DontBeMadPod.
Join that. You'll hear some colorful comments that'll come up from that one.
I haven't been tweeting as often as I should, but we will get it more active, I promise you.
As it goes along, you
just by my pretty fingers.
And and the Facebook page, Don't Be Mad Podcast.
Yep.
You could, especially the Facebook page, if you want to hear constant, up-to-date thoughts on what we're going through, what we're doing, the Facebook page is really a good avenue to go to and get updates and everything like that. So, again, everyone, thank you for listening. And if you have any comment suggestions, you can reach us at the email. Yes, give them the email so they can reach us at...
It is don'tbemad@theconnect.ca.
And we will be glad to help you answer any questions that you have. If you're doing something that's really important, really impactful, especially in Montreal, let us know. We would love to have you on. I guess I'm done
talking. Say two, mate.
All right, man. I'm tired. Just want to sleep now. Take care, everyone, and have a good week.
Thank you all for listening. Take care.
Peace.